Welcome, everyone, back to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm Jenna Becerra, alongside my co-host, Amanda Lorenz. Today's episode is brought to us by our friends at S2 Cognition. S2 Cognition delivers a revolutionary approach to helping athletes understand how in-game decisions impact their performance from the youth levels all the way to the pros. So I'm super excited about today, Amanda. I don't know about you, I'm sure.
What a week in college softball. We have a lot of amazing things to talk about.
Ooh, I feel like we say that every week, but it's true every week.
Yeah. It's been so competitive. And I feel like we were very blessed with some amazing matchups this past week.
Totally agree. And for today's lineup, we'll do some top 25 rankings conversation. Then we'll head into the interview with Taylor Tinsley. And we'll wrap up with plays of the week and the win and whiff of the week. Sound good, Amanda?
Sounds great. Let's get after it.
The top 25 this week, it's always so interesting, but a few of the updates that we're seeing at least compared to last week, because it's hard to even keep track, to be honest. But Texas State actually enters the chat, so they swept a hot Penn State. They're now 19-6, so they're sitting there at number 25. Boston still doing its thing, now at number 22. The biggest mover was Texas A&M, who actually rose six spots to number 17 after sweeping a ranked South Carolina team. So they're 23-3 on the season, undefeated in SEC so far. And then Florida State actually had the biggest drop. They went from 16 to 24 after another unranked loss to Florida Gulf Coast. Then your Gators, Amanda, Florida, they leapfrogged Alabama after taking the series on the road, which was a huge start to the SEC for them. And then in the top three, which everyone is looking very closely at, OU didn't stay down for long. They're back in that top spot. LSU climbs into the top two after some great performances, especially recently. And then Texas drops down to number three after the loss to Houston. And then just recently, the head-to-head loss to LSU directly. So much going on.
Yeah, that was a lot, right? Like so many good matchups. And wow, it was fun. And it was really fun to be able to watch that LSU-Texas game right before we recorded.
Oh, yeah. Man, and honestly, we have understandably questions, right? About everything that's going on, which as we should every week, because there are so many things going on and it's really fun to have this conversation. So we'll just dive right in to some of those. So one of the first questions is, how is Stanford ranked over Duke?
I'll take it really quick. I think that I'm more impressed. I don't vote on the poll, but I'm more impressed with Stanford's schedule so far and just what they've been able to do against some really, really good teams. So I think that while Duke has totally taken care of business and has been able to show some really amazing things so far, I think that once we get in, especially this weekend, they're playing at Florida State. We're going to have an awesome series between them, which I'm really, really pumped about. I'm excited to see them play some better competition and kind of see what they're made of, because they've been super impressive so far. So I think it really just so far comes down to schedule.
I agree. And, you know, their only loss for Duke is obviously number one OU. You know, they're sitting right at number six, Stanford at number five. Like they're right there, both of them. And Stanford obviously has four losses, like to Texas, Florida State, and Kentucky, who are all ranked, and they're all actually ranked higher at the time in which they played. RPI is not everything, but if you do look at that, Stanford's number two right now in the country, Duke's number 21 as of the time that we recorded this. So I think to your point, Amanda, it's the scheduling piece, and it's not just the losses. Duke has less, but it's also about the wins, because Duke did win against a ranked Boston team and at the time a ranked Nebraska team. But Stanford has four ranked wins over Texas, Tennessee, Georgia, who are all in the top five at the time. And then at the time, San Diego State also in the rankings when they beat them. So, I mean, if you look at the most recent head-to-head part of it too, like it did go Stanford's way in the Super Regionals last year, although it is a new season. But, you know, you said it, this weekend's huge. To go up against Florida State for ACC and then Stanford starting off Pac-12 with Cal, like, I think this is going to tell us a lot moving
and
forward.
I love that it's, you know, it's at Florida State. It's not an easy place to play. Their fans will be screaming K-time as loud as they can. So it will be a very good test for them. And they're ready.
Yeah, Agreed. We experienced that in person too. I mean, I think you have more than once during your playing career, but hearing the K-Time live in Clearwater and everything too, like it really is, it's next level. Mm-hmm. All right. Next one is, what about UCLA? They shouldn't even be ranked.
Whoa, whoa, hostile right there at the end, my guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like they also have some really good wins, right? Like, and especially as of late, after the Florida loss, they've won six in a row, had a great showing against Utah. And I feel like, you know, they're kind of finding a new identity for them right now, right? Like they're used to having a superstar ace in the circle that just mows down hitters. And like they have like an amazing, who will get to hear from today, Taylor Tinsley. And she's learning, right? She's a sophomore and now she's the one, right? Like she did not have as many innings as Megan Faramo and Brooke Yanez to look up to last year. So now she's the one and it's a big transition. So they've usually having that all-star, all-American pitcher that's ready to go, one of the best in the world, you know, to ride or die with that arm. It's different, right? They're having to utilize their staff a little bit better. And that's different for an offense too, right? Like if you're used to having like an ace pitcher who limits other teams to less than two runs a game, like that's much easier for the offense to worry about, right? And we've seen her totally settle in and their pitching staff is getting better with each game. And I've been really impressed with the way that they've turned it around and have been competing. And Utah is a very, very good team. They competed and I think that UCLA is just figuring out where they are now without Megan Faramo. And once they put together those pieces, they are going to be a very, very competitive team because very impressed with their offense. Even if they go quiet sometimes, they still are scary.
Yeah. They come back, right? Like that's the thing when you have Megan Grant, Jordan Woolery, like Charlize Palacios, you have Janelle Meonio is a part of it. Like, Maya Brady.
How many hitters that is where like, if the game is on the line, if I'm a UCLA fan, I'm not nervous, you know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They have so many hitters that can do damage in their lineup. Like they have a very talented team.
Yes. And they've gone up against some talented teams too. Like they're number 15 in the RPI right now. And they, you know, they went to Clearwater, they went to Mary Netter, they went to Judy Garman, they went to some of these top preseason tournaments to really be battle tested. They're 14-6. They have six losses on the year coming into this recording, but they've only lost to ranked teams too. Like they don't have quote unquote bat losses to quote unquote like weaker teams. Mm-hmm. Texas, Oklahoma State, Baylor, Georgia, Florida. Are the ones that they've lost to, but they also beat Tennessee, Florida State, Northwestern, right? And then to your point, they swept Utah, who went to the World Series last year. So I think there's, you know, I think that there's definitely a case. They have not fallen out of my top 25 rankings. They definitely dropped, right, early on, but they didn't fall out for a lot of these reasons. And there's still a lot of season left. So we have a lot to witness. Oh man. Then the, probably the biggest question of the hour right now, why does Oklahoma stay in either first or second when LSU has failed to lose a game and is still below Oklahoma? Valid.
Yeah. So, my thoughts are I was not convinced that LSU deserved the number one seed until today. I was super impressed with the way that they went to Lexington, had some rain delays, it looked cold, and they still found a way to sweep Kentucky. Super impressive because Kentucky is always a super competitive team. And Rachel Lawson does an incredible job with her pitching staff. And I always found that she was one of the hardest pitching coaches to compete against, just with how she prepares and how she pitch calls. I think she does an incredible job. So it was amazing to see LSU go in there and say, and they don't care about the rankings. Obviously they're just playing softball and they did a great job. And then they come in against Texas and absolutely show that they should be getting some votes for the number one team in the country. They're playing like it right now. So, I wasn't convinced until today that if I put in a vote that they would probably be in my number one slot, just with the way that they're playing really, really good softball right now. And it's showing against what before it would have been like a little concerning about, oh, well, they haven't played really anybody except Oklahoma State. That was their biggest win on paper probably, but a sweep at Kentucky is so hard to do. And then you come and you beat Texas at home in a midweek. It was really impressive. So I'm on the train now.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally fair. And we saw that game in person when they played Oklahoma State. We saw them come back against Northwestern too in Clearwater. Yes. And to see, I think there's a little bit of that X factor too, with knowing like they're never going to be out of it, even if they're behind at any time. And they were ahead of Texas the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it is a valid question by far. Like, it's more than fair to bring this up. If you look at it from like the bird's eye view, I think you're right. It's like, because Oklahoma has had this like sustained excellence, and they had a great response after the loss as well to Louisiana. I know mm-hmm. they swept Iowa State. Sydney Sanders is our D1 softball player of the week this week because of her offensive output. That was insane. Multiple home runs. Whereas, and then you look at LSU and it's like, they were a top 10 seed last year and then they lost in regionals, and that was back-to-back years for them. But that's also not just what's in the present, right? What's in the present right now could very well change. They're the only undefeated team. They're number one in RPI as of right now. And to your point, that to go into someone else's house, especially in the SEC with the fan bases that are there and sweep someone like that, it's a really big deal. I think they even said too on the ESPN broadcast that LSU's only a couple wins away from tying their best start in school history. So we could still very well see them in that top spot, even if they aren't right now in this exact moment in this exact week. I think it's very possible.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, man. I love the questions, though. I love how engaged everybody is, you know, like in these conversations, because it's so fun to see our game grow like that and people care so much. Yeah. I think you and I have always cared, right? But like, just to see more and more people get on the bandwagon is really cool.
Yes, absolutely. So fun. Did you have any matchups this weekend that you were most interested in or shocked about that you would like to chat really quick? I know we're going a little off script, but to chat about real quick.
Well, in terms of what happened this past weekend, like obviously everyone had a lot of eyes on Utah and UCLA, understandably, especially after like the matchup last year in the Pac-12 tournament and all that stuff. But Cal and Oregon was really interesting to me. You know, Cal being the ranked opponent in that particular series, and then Oregon did take the series. Mm-hmm. I thought that was going to be interesting because Oregon is not a team that's going to lay down. They're not in the top 25 now, but I don't think we've seen the last of them, to be honest.
100%.
Yeah. And Chelsea Spencer having like spent all that time on staff and Eugene too, like made for such, you know, it's an interesting story, right? To be able to watch that. So to me, that was one of the most interesting matchups that I watched this past weekend. I have a feeling I may know one of the ones that you liked to watch this past weekend.
Yeah. Really quick about the Oregon Cal series. I also, Danielle O'Toole, as we call her, Tooley, is the pitching coach for Cal, and she just welcomed a beautiful baby boy with her husband, Tony. So congratulations, Tooley. But also, like, that means Cal is without their pitching coach right now. So just how they've been able to still compete and stay in games without their pitching coach is impressive. But also there was a lot going on for them with that happening and Chelsea Spencer calling Oregon home for so many years. So I'm sure it was emotional for that team, but I would love to see them match up again because it seemed like a really exciting three games.
Totally.
Like, now we can get into my favorite matchup.
I'm like, I think everyone can guess. But
obviously, with the Gators taking two from Alabama in Tuscaloosa, I was most excited and impressed with the way that Keegan Rothrock and Ava Brown went in there as freshmen and competed at the Rhodes House. For those of you that have not been to Tuscaloosa for a softball game or, it's really hard to play there or to be an opposing fan at the Rhodes House. There's so many people I had seen that the first game on Saturday had broken a record for attendance. Coach Murphy had put out there that it was over 4,400 people had showed up for that game. And I can assure you that they were 99% of them were Alabama fans, screaming Roll Tide. So it's not an easy place to play at. I don't care what Alabama's record is. And this year it is extremely good and they've been very good this year, but it doesn't matter how they've been playing. It's a hard place to play, especially for freshmen. Like, yep. my heart raced as a upperclassman the same way that it did when I was a freshman. So I can't, to see them come in and be so composed and compete in such a hard place to play was really exciting. And exciting to prove what they are able to do as the pressure gets more crazier throughout the year. But I love me some offense, but that was awesome to see two freshmen be super composed. And then obviously huge for Alabama to avoid the sweep. I think yes. I see something like they have not gotten swept in an SEC series in like 20 years or at home or something wild like that. I'm sure I'm butchering that stat, but so it was pretty important for them to get that win, and so good for the rivalry too. Obviously, being biased, I would have loved a sweep for the Gators, but. But for our sport, it was awesome to watch another really competitive game, and awesome that Alabama was able to secure that Monday night win.
So fun to watch. I love how Patrick Murphy, every time he does an in-game interview too, is like, thanks you guys for being here. He's like so hyped that that we get the coverage that we do now, you know, and I just so appreciate that. He's kind of like the king of the in-game interviews in that way.
Yeah, I don't know how he has it in him to be like that personable and like, it's impressive how he is able to be so nice and personable while also coaching a game in the SEC. It is awesome. Like I can't remember a time that I was watching softball when he was getting interviewed and he didn't say, thanks for being here, you guys.
Yeah. Even if they're losing, like, it doesn't matter.
Always the same tone. It's consistent. So I appreciate that for sure.
Yeah. So cool. And you're right about the environment. Like, I played there as an upperclassman in super regionals my junior year, and it was awesome. Like, it's the type of thing that you want, the type of environment you want to play in. But oh yeah, there's so much going on. So I guess it helps when your coach is super poised too, for a team to be poised.
Yeah. It was awesome. Really fun to watch.
Yeah. So many fun series to watch. And we had a really fun time in the Pac-12 on the West Coast as well, watching UCLA. And we actually get to chat with somebody who was a part of that, and we'll head right into our chat with Tinsley. Well, please welcome in today's guest, the one and only UCLA pitcher, recent Pac-12 pitcher of the week, and also a 2023 Pac-12 all-freshman team member, Taylor Tinsley. Taylor, thank you for joining us. We're excited to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I mean, it has been really fun to watch you all. And first of all, congratulations on the recent sweep to start off Pac-12 play. That's got to feel good.
Yeah, it definitely does. Thank you.
Well, now that it's a new season, you know, the other three pitchers that you worked with from last year, having graduated, like a Megan Framo, Brooke Yanez, Lauren Shaw, you're kind of thrust into that lead role this year. Like, we've already seen you throw more innings this year than we did last season. So how has that process been for you?
Yeah, it's been really fun. I mean, we definitely have such a great bullpen this year, and I'm definitely excited. I learned so much from Megan and Brooke. I mean, they're the best, and I'm still best friends with them now, hanging out outside of softball, and they'll come around too. But I definitely think I learned a lot, and I'm able to take the bits and pieces that I learned from them and take it to the bullpen this year, just culture-wise and how we get after it in the bullpen. So it's been really fun.
I love it. I love it. What's been that transition like of going from learning as a freshman from them and then being kind of the one that the rest of the bullpen is looking to lead the way?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really fun. I think especially since we are a new bullpen, we have our freshman KT and then transfer Jada. So I feel like it's honestly, we work more in unison together. We're all just kind of working together, building each other up. I wouldn't say there's necessarily one over the other. Like, we're all three just trying to figure it out. And we've been doing really good so far. So I'm really happy that I have them by my side and they have my back and I have theirs. So.
And I got to see you all play in person at Clearwater, but also in Mary Nutter, which felt like in some ways like a turning point for the team. Mm-hmm. And also for you too. I mean, that was the week you earned Pac-12 Pitcher of the Week honors, right? And you had a few wins overall. You had 29 strikeouts against Tennessee, Baylor, and Northwestern, who are obviously all great teams. What do you think was different mentally for you and for everyone?
I feel like for preseason, it's definitely super hard for anybody playing. I mean, five games in a weekend is definitely totally different from three when it's conference play. So I think, honestly, our team focuses a lot on just having fun, staying loose, and just mostly playing for each other and playing for the four letters. So I think we definitely just loosened up and reminded ourselves that we are just softball players here to just have fun and make memories. So I think that's honestly what got us to the next level with these past two weekends. And even this weekend when we played Utah too, just reminding ourselves that we're to have fun and just compete.
Yeah, you talk about playing for those four letters, and you guys had a huge weekend in honoring some amazing alum. What is that like, playing for such a storied program with so many alum that it seems like they're always around too, which is so cool, just to have so many amazing examples of champions. So what was that like this weekend, having them all around?
Yeah, it was awesome. I love alumni day and alumni weekends, like just getting to see all the greats before us. And I think it definitely makes the team want to play a little bit harder, just knowing that people that painted the path before us, and not only do we want to play for us, we want to play for them too. And the coaches, obviously all three, like being alum here too. So it just makes it a lot more special.
And the fact that it's Women's History Month, right? Like to celebrate the 1984 championship team and the 2004 championship team, because there's that many championship teams at UCLA, right? So to be able to do that at home and to see, you know, even like their kids, like Claire Sua, which everyone calls her Claire Sua Amundsen now because she's obviously been married for a while, but she brought her daughter. She was my assistant coach for a while at Stanford. And, you know, seeing that kind of family translate too must be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, super cool. I love it. It's awesome getting to see everybody and just also like hear their stories and stuff afterwards, like getting to share their experiences here and their favorite memories and stuff from their championship year. So it's awesome.
Amazing. And you're from Georgia, correct?
Yes.
So what has that been like? You leave SEC country to go out to Southern California. Talk a little bit about like why and just how that transition has been. Georgia is a lot different than Los Angeles.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, it definitely is a lot different. I feel like last year was more so of the big change, like being a freshman, obviously like first time away from home. So I definitely was super kind of like, what the heck is going on? But I feel like since it is such a family environment here that I honestly transitioned so easily, like it was honestly seamless. Like Coach I always had me and all the girls, the seniors, having Aaliyah and having Megan just honestly take me under their wing. It definitely was amazing. And then too, this year, now living in an apartment with my roommate Jordan on the team. So I feel like her being from the Bay Area, like she gets me more into the California feel, but it's definitely been different. But my family gets to come and visit a good bit. So it's been nice.
Love it.
Well, that's so funny, Amanda, too, because you did the opposite, right? Going from Southern California to Florida.
You went like this. Yeah.
Yeah. But I love that that's what's happening in our game now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So awesome. Experiencing other things than just homeland.
Yeah, just the growth of the game for sure. But I know last year was, like you said, your first year, which by the way, we've all been through it. Amanda and I can say that too. As freshmen, you learn a lot, right? Yeah. But last year also, like, you know, you did just sweep Utah, like we said. Last year, the Pac-12 tournament wasn't the way that you all hoped it would be against them specifically too. And then they end up going to the World Series, of course. But do you think when you have those sorts of meetings again with teams like that, is that something where you think about it, you kind of have a chip on your shoulder, or do you just start with a brand new slate in a new season?
I would definitely say a brand new slate. Every game, you just kind of want to wipe it clean and get on to the next one. I don't think our team really takes anything like that. So we definitely just take it one game at a time, and our focus is on the now. So that's definitely what we focus on. Yeah.
I love it. You have so many talented hitters in your lineup. I'm curious about scrimmages during practice. Who is the hitter on your team that you hate to face the most?
I definitely would say Jordan Woolery. Like I said before, she's my roommate. So for us, like obviously living together, then taking it to the field, like I swear whenever I'm throwing against her, the at-bats are like 20 pitches almost. Like it's honestly so fun though, because I try to like stay focused and like just super dialed in, like not looking at her face. But the moment that her and I make eye contact, then I just lose it. And I'm just like, oh gosh, but she's super competitive too. And so am I. So it's always a battle, but it's the best, honestly.
That's awesome.
your roommates, you like know too much about each other.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I know the ins and outs for sure.
But with that said, do you have any pregame routines, whether it's like food or like certain music you listen to, whether it's with Jordan or just on your own?
I feel like, honestly, like I keep my routine pretty loose. I try not to be super superstitious with it. I try not to believe in that kind of stuff. But I would say mostly like what our team does, like we level up a lot. So I definitely would say I just put on like some calming music and just to get my mind right and have some headphones on and then go through my warm up routine with my shoulder and everything and just like get ready to get after it.
What is your favorite thing to do in Westwood on an off day?
Oh, favorite thing to do in Westwood on an off day. There's a lot to do in Westwood, I would say. I mean, honestly, like the weather lately without the rain, it's been like really nice. So I would say specifically on Thursdays, we have like the farmer's market that'll come and like set up like along the street. And that's honestly one of my favorite things to do, like go and see like the little shops, like there's little food places and then also like little knickknacks and stuff that you can get like jewelry and stuff. So I would say that's one of my favorite things that Westwood has.
Love it.
That's fun. I mean, it's nice to be able to do that kind of stuff too, because we all need to take a step away from softball sometimes.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Definitely good to get away from the field and get away from seeing the yellow ball once in a while.
Exactly. At least it's yellow and not white anymore. Like yeah. Back in the day. Right. I guess there's that. Like, I mean, but with that said, a lot of people on your coaching staff like did play with that white ball and they're legends. You know, I've told Lisa this before, but she's the only person that I've ever been starstruck around. When I was like 10 years old, I met her. And I, you know, since then it's like, it doesn't matter if they're like Hollywood movie stars, like she's the one that made me starstruck out of everybody. But what is it like playing for and with legends like that?
Yeah, it's really cool to think about it. Honestly, I mean, she is the go of the sport. So just getting to learn from her and hearing the way that she went about things with her pitching and even with her hitting too, like just hearing the way that her mind works and having that honestly inspire me and make me want to work harder too, just to know that she loves the game so much, makes me honestly love it even more because I do love playing for her and she's honestly the best, super funny. So I love it. I love her energy too. Super, super amped up all the time. So it definitely makes me want to match her level.
I love it. That's important, right?
Right.
Last year of the Pac-12, and now we're finally into conference play. What are you most excited for in now that we've started Pac-12 play?
I'm honestly excited to go to Washington just because I've never been and I've heard that it's really pretty. So I think we go there next weekend. So I'm super excited just to like see the scenery. I hear so many good things about that. So, but I'm also just excited to get to play and get a matchup. The Pac-12 is always super strong. So excited just get to play some competitive softball.
Well, not only is that series at Washington, I mean, both great teams, right? So that's going to be fun to watch, especially for us, right? But also, you're so right. I mean, I think that was the one place my parents didn't travel to during my time because they had changed the schedules at one point and then it just didn't line up. So they're going to be very jealous that you guys are going back there. It's really nice there.
Yeah, I'm super ready.
But if you had to describe the Bruin bubble in three words, like three individual words, how would you go about choosing those?
Okay. I would say magic, vibes, and gritty. Yeah.
Loved. Very cool. Good that I'm glad that you used those three words that like the people that are outside of the bubble that will never get in the bubble can understand, you know, like we won't fully understand because we'll never be inside the bubble, but at least we know what the, I thought there might've been like some inside jokes thrown in there that we weren't going to understand.
No, not too much, but yeah, the Bruin bubble definitely is the best. So
love it. Great. I got anything else, Jenna? That was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was so good to hear from you, Taylor. And I know it's like, it's a grind during the season, right? Like where Amanda said it, you're in Pac-12 play now. It's phase one, I should say, is done. And phase two now with conference play is ahead of you, but you know, we all deal with haters, right? And so I would just ask you, and I mean, all of us, even Amanda and I every week, we're like, yeah, we know the top 25 is what it is, guys. We get it. But when you're actually on the field and you're trying to stay focused, how do you quiet the noise around?
Honestly, I'm definitely very much the kind of pitcher that's super like out of the zone. I hardly even hear our coach calling the signs, to be honest. So, I mean, I definitely will communicate with my infield and kind of like feed off of their energy, but I am super, super dialed into what I'm doing. Just the loud pop of the glove of the catcher's mitt to the soft pop of my glove. It's very just, I try to keep it on a routine, on a cycle, and then get in the dugout, get my batter's hype, and then just repeat and repeat and repeat. So I feel like I definitely block out the noise. I would say unintentionally, but also intentionally. Like, it just honestly doesn't really faze me. So.
Yeah. I feel like from watching you the last 2 years that you look so like poker face up on the mound. And so it's been really fun to like talk to you like this, just see your smile and see just like that different side of you. Cause you seem much like you just definitely have a poker face where you can't tell which is such a good thing. You cannot tell the score just by looking at you, when you're on the mound, which I like, and I'm sure that fires your teammates up too, but it was super fun to get to know you a little bit, in this space, just to see you smile and see you talk about the things that you're passionate about. So I love that side of things, just to find out more about what makes you guys tick and what makes you guys so cool.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm not always super dead in the face. So I'm definitely a lot of personality, a lot of energy. So
I love it. Well, thank you for sharing it with us.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. And keep chipping away. We're going to be watching, obviously, the rest of the season. And we know it's a gauntlet coming up for you. So good luck.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you guys.
I had a really good time talking with Taylor, because I feel like it's, again, we said this too, like it's in the throes of the grind right now. And so to kind of just hear where her head's at and where the team's head's at, gives us a little taste of what all the student athletes are going through right now in the middle of the season.
Absolutely. And I loved getting to know Taylor a little bit better too. I'm like, everyone is so used to seeing her with this poker face and she looks like, you know, she's showing no emotion, no personality when she's out on the field, which is awesome, right? Like you never can tell what the score is. She just looks like a bulldog out there, like ready to compete, which I can appreciate. And that's always so fun to compete against a pitcher that's just absolutely locked in. So it was fun to hear from her and see how fun she is and see her smile and kind of talk about the things that she likes to do and around Westwood. And so it was cool to get to know her.
Yeah. And just like off the field, like you said, like, I love that you asked some of those questions too, because it's like, oh yeah, these are people, right? Like these are women who have a lot going on. And even when we were done, she was like, oh yeah, I have a lot of classes today. They have a game like later today, the day that we're recording, right? Like she's grinding out there. So all the respect to her and every student athlete that does that.
Yes.
Man, but also a lot of respect for just some fantastic plays that we have seen recently. So we'll just go right into our favorites from this week. So the first one is, I think I'm taking a page out of Amanda's book again, an offensive moment. That was one of my favorites this week. So take a look.
Allie Skaggs sends this into center field. And how about that hometown hero home run? You gotta love it. The crowd goes wild. All the cell phones are recording this moment for Allie Skaggs. Congrats, hometown hero. Welcome home.
It's just so sweet, right? Like the fact that it's in your hometown, like the hometown home run, there's nothing like it. I mean, now they're number 20, Arizona. They played at Louisville in a midweek game. She's from Louisville. She was a gold glove second baseman in the country last year for Allie Skaggs. And she hits a two-run home run to center field with her family in the stands. Crowd's going crazy, even though she's on the visiting team. Right. It just hits a little bit different.
Totally. Like such a special moment that her and her family will remember forever. Like that is just so cool. I loved, you know, the commentary too on the clip, like just hyping her up. And so they understood just how big that moment was for her and her family and her hometown. So they're so cool. Like definitely gave me the goosebumps.
Yes. It's like, how can you not be romantic about softball? You know, these are those types of moments where it's just so good. It reminded me of Jocelyn Allo breaking the NCAA home run record in Hawaii too, back in 2022. Poetic. Yeah. It's like, it would have been nice if it was in Norman, of course, but so poetic that it was in her home state and maybe against a team and in a place that you don't play all the time, right? Yeah. Like they don't play Louisville all the time. You know, they're in the ACC. So really cool moment for them.
So cool. For my play of the week, I kind of teased it a little bit on socials, but I decided to choose a big defensive moment. I've been really into the defense lately. So here we go.
Now back up the middle, and that's going to be a double play to get LSU out of the inning.
Wow.
Mercy, what a beautiful play.
Like, I love it. Just an unreal play by Taylor Pleasance and a big moment in the game. Obviously, saving that ball from going up the middle. And the turn around and make a perfect throw to first as well. Just so impressive. She has a way of making some really, really elite plays. It's so fun to watch. And we got to watch a few of them against Texas as well today. But, gosh, she is so tall. And her limbs are so long. She's able to do some really cool things and move around the infield in a special way. So I thought that was an amazing, amazing play. And also, like, side comment, how about Raylene Gutierrez out there with the beanie on making that play as well? Like, wow. She had to have been really cold, number one. And number two, like, no cares in the world. Like, she's going to wear it. They had posted a photo of her in this beanie and I lost it. I was like, this is so funny. Like, making such an elite play and like no care in the world. Like, she's like, no, I'm cold. I'm wearing the beanie. Like, end of story. I thought it was hysterical. I loved it. Like, I was like, that is more, I need the backstory of that. Like, I almost wanted her as a guest on the podcast to find out like, how cold was it that you needed to wear a beanie? And like, amazing that it didn't interfere with the play. Like, my head would be itching. Like, oh my God, like, I need more. It was awesome. I was cackling.
I'm so glad you brought it up. I'm so glad you brought it up. Cause she was so unbothered even making that play. Like, that was a great pick, right? Like, on that too. And she's just like completely straight faced. Like, oh, this is casual. I just have my little beanie and the little.
Literally amazing. And she's such a good first baseman. Like, she always makes these like plays look so routine, and like, she absolutely catches everything. But it was so awesome. Like, the action photo too, she looked so unfazed. It was like, yes, the most amazing play. Like, had to have been on SportsCenter. Like, if it wasn't, that's ridiculous. But like, and, oh my God, I loved it. Everything about it was just so great. Made my
day. If it's not on SportsCenter, that's a whiff of the week, honestly, if that's the case. Period. Because too good. And yeah, you know, always pleasant watching Taylor at shortstop defensively, you know?
Yeah. So fun.
Love it. Well, with that said, some amazing plays of this week, but yes, what about our win and whiff of the week? So we will head right into that. This week's win of the week was so, so cool. It was just on Monday, actually. Howard University hosted number 9 Tennessee, and it's actually the first time ever that the Bison have hosted a nationally ranked team. Tori Tyson, the head coach there, coordinated with Karen Weekly, and they had dinner together with both the teams. They did like visits to multiple Black-owned businesses in the area and did a tour of the Howard campus, which is an HBCU, a historically Black college or university. And it was a really cool thing too to see one of our teammates, a staff writer, Rhiannon Potke, wrote a piece about it too on d1softball.com, and it's called Mutual Enrichment: Tennessee and Howard Meet in DC. So you can read the full details there. We did an Instagram takeover too with the teams, and we have some other behind the scenes content coming out to give you some insight on the whole experience. But just so cool to see collaboration like that in our game.
No, so cool. And I loved like looking on Twitter and seeing so many things. I know that Coach Karen Weekly had posted a video. I know that we won the softball game, but Howard wins the dance off / sing off. After they had dinner together and posted some awesome clips. And at each table, it was staggered of a Howard Bison sitting next to a Lady Vol. So really cool to see them all just like mingling and talking. And then what a trip for Tennessee. And then also what an experience for Howard. Just so awesome. Like, so cool.
I think Tori Tyson said it well too. She's like, a lot of us talk about doing things, but then people actually doing it is a big difference. And that's, she gave a lot of credit to Karen Weekly. And I would give credit to both of them for what they were able to do, because just so awesome.
Amazing.
Well, that was the positive.
That was a very, very serious, fun thing to talk about for win. Okay, now I'm going to bring it to our whiff of the week. And of course, I had to go to my favorite series of the weekend. So here we go.
Payoff from Rothrock. Called strike three. The freshman from Florida sits down the freshman from Alabama.
So my whiff of the week is my girl, Lauren Johnson, thinking that that was a ball because, wow, it was 100% on the white of the plate. But then also, like, as you're thinking about it, like, that just shows how much spin and how deceptive Keegan Rothrock can be, right? But in the moment, I was like, oh my gosh, like, you're taking steps to first base. Like, that couldn't have been more of a strike, right? So that's my whiff of the week. But it's I'm saying that very lightly. Like, it's extremely hard to play in that series and compete. And two freshmen going at it, hearts are racing. But I was just like, whiff of the week, thinking that that is a ball.
Well, everybody always wants to hit, right? Like, doesn't matter who it is. So I almost would rather her have whiffed on that, right? And like swung at it in that case. And she's a great player. Like, she made a wonderful diving catch as well during the series. Like, she's making a great impact. So again, it's like anyone in that situation, it's like, all right, we want to hit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the tossing the bat too, I think before when you get rung up, like, it's just never a good feeling. Like, the umpires don't love it either. Yeah.
Like, even also, like, even if it was like a 3-1 count and that was the second strike, like, you throw it down and you go back and like here, I'm like, I've done that so many times where I'm like, I'm so sorry, Blue.
Yeah.
Like, I totally thought that that was a ball. Like, that's on me. But getting it done on strike three is a different level of humbling for sure.
Yeah. It's like bat flipping and you fly out or something.
Yeah.
You know,
or like, don't, it happens to a lot of us. So
it does.
She's
it
not
does.
The first and she won't be the last.
For sure. It's more of like a, almost like a rite of passage. Like, she's a freshman. All right. We check like that weird moment off the list, you know, we're good.
Yes.
Oh man. Well, this as usual was a fun one, Amanda. So I'm so glad that we got to do this again. I mean, how cool is it that we get to do this every week? It's awesome. But thank you as always for making this even more fun every week.
Yeah. I'm so excited. We have some amazing series coming up this weekend. We're blessed with some more amazing softball. So I know that you will be on the call for Stanford at Cal. So I'm sure you're really excited about that series. Alabama's going down to Athens to play the Georgia Bulldogs. Can't wait for that series. That's going to be a really, really good one. We also talked about Duke at Florida State. Missouri's off to a great, great start. They're at Tennessee this weekend. Washington's at Arizona. Like, we have some really good softball this weekend, and I cannot wait to be updating all the scores and watching whatever I can, whatever's on the broadcast. But I'm super excited for the matchups that we have going on this weekend too.
So many of those you just said are ranked matchups too, right? Absolutely, like, just, yeah. I'm sure we'll be shaking up the top 25 next week after a lot that goes down. And you're right, I'm very excited. My first Pac-12 Networks broadcast of the season with Cal and Stanford, but it's a big rivalry, right? Like, we love it. Just like we just saw Florida and Alabama and things like mm-hmm. we love that, but they're also in the best places they've been as programs respectively in years and at the same time. So like, I cannot wait to see all the emotions and everything come out this weekend there and all the places you said around the country too.
So cool. We will be watching. Can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. And join us next time.